Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believe in Bingo podcast right here on Bally Sports Ohio. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcott. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports is going to join us. We're going to talk Bengals draft and more. But first, I want to start with my hot take. No, Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow is not injury prone. I can't tell you. Everywhere I go, everyone who talks to me wants to ask me that question. And I started to call it something else because I think it is one of the worst questions. How do you say that a quarterback is injury prone when he starts every single game, including the postseason, for two straight years and take the team to two consecutive AFC title games, including a Super Bowl? That's not injury prone. Yes, he was injured after 10 games. He started 10 games his rookie year, and then he has a knee injury. You know why? Because we had an offensive line that couldn't block. Go ask Andrew Luck if he was injury prone, because he also began his career playing behind an offensive line who couldn't block. I'm just going to tell you, playing in the National Football League is not about if you'll get hurt. It's not about when you will get hurt. There is a certainty, a 100% guarantee. If you play in the National Football League with any length of time, you are going to get injured, especially if you're a quarterback and you're playing behind a porous offensive line like what he was playing behind during his rookie campaign during the 2020 season. Now, let's go to 2021, his second year. Started all of their 17 regular season games, including the wild card game in the playoffs, including the divisional game in the playoffs, including the AFC Championship game, and a Super Bowl. Every single game, goes straight to a Super Bowl, and then he comes back and starts every single game the very next season in 2022, including the wild card game in the postseason, including the divisional round playoff game against Buffalo, and then the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And if we don't hit Patrick Mahomes out of bounds, we're probably going to another Super Bowl. So he started all of those games consecutively, but yet people still have the nerve to ask me if Joe Burrow is injury prone. He's not prone to injury. He's prone to getting hit a lot behind an offensive line that, by the way, we've gotten so much better since he first arrived. Now, last year, he missed seven games during the 2023 season. Remember he had that calf strain injury? There's a lot of players in this league who's had calf strain injuries, but he still got himself ready and fit to start week one. He wasn't at his best, but he still got himself ready to play. And then he started every single game for 10 straight weeks. And then in the Thursday night game against Baltimore, the defensive lineman fell on top of him, Jadeveon Clowney. And while he's trying to catch himself with the weight of the defensive lineman on him, he jammed his wrist into the ground. Happened to be on his throwing hand, by the way. Had it been on the other hand, would not have been a problem. Had he been playing any other position, would not have been a problem. There are some injuries, depending on what position you play, that you can overcome, right? So if he would have jammed his wrist and tore a tendon in his left wrist, would not have been a problem. He would have continued to be able to play. If he would have jammed the right wrist, which he did, and tore a tendon in that wrist, and he plays, say, defensive back, he would have still continued to be able to play. But since he was a quarterback and he has to be able to throw the ball with that wrist, that hand, he was unable to play. That does not make him injury prone. Any player who plays in the National Football League is prone to injury. He's going to get injured. Okay? So Joe Burrow has started, I think, a career, 59 total games. He has missed 13 games in the four seasons he's been in the National Football League. So I'm just here to tell you, everyone, Joe Burrow is fit and ready for action at the start of the 2024 season, and we are all the better for it. So as you sit in your taverns, bars, and pool halls, spread the word. Joe Burrow's not injury prone. What he is a winner. What he is a champion. What he is a tough dude. Because at the quarterback position is hit, he gets hit as much as anyone. Probably a little too much for my taste. And I got to give the Cincinnati Bengals a lot of credit. They have gone out and spent a lot of money to improve an offensive line that in 2020 was one of the worst when it came to protecting the quarterback, that has become so much better. And I think in 2024, this is going to be the best offensive line we've had in a long time. In fact, these guys are big. In fact, they're huge. Trent Brown, the new right tackle that we inherited via free agency, comes over from the New England Patriots. 6'8", 370. At the left tackle position, Orlando Brown, he is 6'7", 350. Two big dudes that cast a huge shadow. I don't know how Joe Burrow is going to be able to see over these guys. He's got to look around them, over them. And we're not small at center in both guard positions. Alex Kappa, he's a big man. Ted Karras is huge. Nick Volston may be the smallest offensive lineman we have. So next time you see the Cincinnati Bengals getting off the bus, they're going to look like a bunch of bad dudes protecting our Joe Burrow. So get it out of your head. No, he's not injury prone. He just needs to get hit less. How about that? So we're excited for the upcoming 2024 season and what the Cincinnati Bengals are bringing to the table. In fact, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports. This guy's going to talk about what we should do with T. Higgins. What are the Bengals thinking? I know Katie Blackburn said he is in our plans for the 2024 season. I wish he was in our long-term plans. We're going to hear from Luke Easterling when we come back, right here on Bally Sports Ohio. That's right, to the Believe in Bengal podcast and more when we return. Be back in a moment. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Believe in Bengal podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. Right now, we have a very special guest, Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports. He's going to join us here on the show. We're going to go rapid fire with a few questions here. Luke, are you ready?
Absolutely, Saul. Good to be here, man.
All right. Hey, great to have you. We got to talk about T. Higgins because I offered up that since he has to be traded, that, we want volunteers, not hostages. So Cincinnati Bengals have not been able to get him signed to a long-term contract. He has asked to be traded. I want to get your thoughts. Should they trade him? Should they sign him to a long-term contract? Or should they keep him on the short term for the 2024 season? What say you?
I mean, there's a lot of different factors at play here, right? You're first about talking about the player, and you're talking about a player who would be the number one receiver on most other NFL teams, right? The fact that he's a number two is only because you have Ja'Marr Chase in that same room, right? But I think honestly, the biggest factor that's working against T. Higgins getting what he wants here, and maybe even the Bengals getting the value that they really deserve for a player of his caliber, right, and that his contract will eventually warrant regardless of who gives it to him, is the fact that this is the best wide receiver draft class in 20, 25 years. And so if you're an NFL team who's saying, if I have to choose between giving up a first or multiple, for, you know, whatever it is, that number that it would take for the Bengals to want to play ball in a negotiation in terms of compensation, am I better off doing that for the right to sign T. Higgins to a massive contract extension? Or do I just spend a late first round pick or an early second round pick on one of these wide receivers that I'm going to have, you know, and on a rookie deal for 4 to 5 years at a much more manageable number, and then maybe do it all over again or give that guy an extension? So I think whether they should or shouldn't is not necessarily the what's going to end up making this happen or not. I think it's the fact that what is T willing to not do in order to get what he wants, right? What is he willing to, you know, not take part in or stay off the field or do whatever? What is a good enough offer that would get the Bengals to relent and say, fine, that's enough for us to move on and do something else here. And I really do think it all comes back to the fact that this is such a great receiver class. I don't think anybody's going to be willing to give the Bengals what they want in return just for the right to spend a bunch of money on T. Higgins, even though, again, as a player in a vacuum, he's absolutely worth it, but you're only worth what somebody will pay. And in this situation, I just don't think the Bengals are going to get enough to warrant it. I think this is going to go on for a little while now.
So is it fair to say that teams are willing to compensate T. Higgins at the appropriate number, but they're probably not prepared to go a step further and having to compensate the Cincinnati Bengals and T. Higgins at the right price point.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to put it, right? And again, it comes back to the fact that why would I give you a first round pick and or more when I can just spend that pick on a guy who's 3 years younger and going to be way cheaper for the next 4 to 5 years? I think that's the way a lot of teams are looking at it. And so, again, it's not a great spot for the Bengals or T. Higgins because, again, if he was just a free agent, he would have gotten paid already. He would have been one of the biggest names on the market, and that would have been it, right? So it's just not that simple. And, again, that's the double-edged sword of the franchise tag, you know, in being able to kind of, you know, it is kind of a hostage-y thing for a little while, where it keeps them in that short-term limbo where they're like, I can't really move on. And it's not a great spot for both parties to be. I don't know where he ends up. Again, I think it's going to, you know, a team is going to have to really give the Bengals an offer they can't refuse because they'll just, I really feel like there's no reason for them not to wait this out. You know, they have the player. If they're not, you know, there's really no impetus, no push, you know, for them to take anything less than they want. And eventually they'll, you know, they might assume that, hey, you know, T is going to want to play. He's going to want to keep putting good film out there to get paid next year. And again, I really don't think this is going to end up with a resolution anytime soon unless a team really does finally pony up the picks that they want.
Hey, Luke, look, I'm well aware of the economics of the situation. They've got Ja'Marr Chase kind of waiting in the wings, and they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
T. Higgins does want to stay. You know, when we use this figurative language that he doesn't want to be held hostage, we don't mean that literally. He really does want to stay in Cincinnati. He wants to play with Joe Burrow. He wants to play with Ja'Marr Chase. He just wants to stay and be paid at the market value. Now, it's been said that you can't keep both. I'm going to tell you right now, I tend to believe that's an echo chamber. And we said it so much that it's almost become like this literal embodiment of truth. You and I both know that if teams wanted to get creative, do you have to give and take? Is there some things that you have to do to massage to make it happen? Yes. But it's not impossible. Because I think it's almost like etched in stone that you can't pay a quarterback and two receivers on the same team and win. We haven't seen it done yet, but I don't think it's impossible, but it's almost become an echo chamber. Help me figure it out. Can the Bengals be creative enough or good enough at what they do to make it work?
Well, I mean, I'm down here in the Tampa area, and I think they're a perfect example of making that work. They have paid Mike Evans. They've already paid Chris Godwin. Both of those guys are going to be in the $20 million a year range. And they just paid Baker Mayfield, you know, $33 million a year. And so, you know, this will be the first year where all three of those guys are kind of at those big numbers, but they're making it work. And again, you saw the huge jump that the salary cap made. You know, I don't like absolutes like that. You can't pay these guys and do it. It doesn't work like that.
Doesn't work.
The only reason draft picks matter is so you can draft guys like Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and make sure they don't ever play for anybody else.
That's
what it's all about. You have to get great players in your building and never let them leave. That's what it's all about. And I don't care what positions they're at. Elite football players are elite football players. They're hard to find. And every single one that comes in your building, you have to make sure they don't leave. I don't care where they're playing. So I agree with you. I don't believe in that absolute where you just can't afford to do that, especially again, as the salary cap continues to grow. It grew twice as much as everybody thought it would this year, which again, agents know that too. And they push for a little more, a little extra as well, and as they should. But no, I think there's absolutely a world in which Burrow gets his money and Chase gets his money and Higgins gets his money, and you keep that nucleus together, especially now. Again, they moved on from Joe Mixon. They can save some money at running back. There's always a way. There's always other places to move. You use void years and all these other things to spread out these cap hits. If you have people in your front office who know what they're doing, who know how to work the system, the salary cap isn't, it's not fake like a lot of people want to make it seem. It will eventually come back to you. But if you can spread things out, you pay off those things later when the cap is higher and you have more room. And so there's always a way to make it happen. There's always a way to make it happen.
Yeah, it's like you're pushing it out. When the budget gets higher, then you can squeeze it in underneath that budget. And you talked about it playing in Tampa. I do believe they did win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady wasn't paying for peanuts. He wasn't playing for peanuts. And they did have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, who were also not playing for peanuts. So you had two top receivers, and you had a thoroughbred at the quarterback position who was earning top dollar. So I think so you're right. We have seen it done before. I want to go to the Bengals. They have the 18th overall selection. I'm going to allow you to play the GM. You get to be Duke Tobin and Mike Brown. Do they take a tight end like a Brock Bowers? Do they take maybe one of the top right tackles on the board with that 18th overall pick? Do you take maybe the best defensive lineman or maybe one of the top cornerbacks that may be on the board with that pick? What are you doing there, Luke?
Yeah, I think they approached free agency well in terms of trying, you know, new. Obviously, they had a big hole at right tackle. And so when you fill that with a veteran, even on a one-year deal in Trent Brown, it at least gives you some flexibility. Every team has the same kind of general strategy when you go into free agency. I have to fill my biggest needs with enough experience to where I don't have to reach at any particular position, especially in the first round. Nobody ever wants to go into the first round saying, man, I struck out in free agency and we have this gaping hole at this position. I have to spend my top pick at this spot, no matter how the board falls. Nobody wants to be in that position. I think the Bengals have done a great job preventing themselves from having to do that. Sheldon Rankin's another addition that keeps them from having to feel like, oh, we've got to have a defensive lineman in this spot. Mm-hmm. So they really can let the board come to them. I think you mentioned corner, which I really like as kind of a dark horse candidate for them there. We've seen a lot of tackle. We've seen a lot of defensive line. But the corner class, the meat of the top of this corner class is going to be in that range, the teens to 20s, where you'll start to see that run happen. So if there's a corner they really, really love, I think Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is probably gone. Terrion Arnold from Alabama is probably gone. But if you like Nate Wiggins from Clemson, if you like Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama as well, that could make sense for them. Brock Bowers is the big wild card, right? Because they have some role players at tight end who can get the job done. But, I mean, I think he's one of the top 5 to 7 players in the draft overall. And I do think because of the positional value, he could fall to that range. And if he's on the board, I just feel like that's a no-brainer from a talent standpoint. He's just too good of a football player, regardless of what position. Again, what I said earlier, you get elite football players, as many as you can in the building, no matter what position they play. So if he's there, I think he's the easy pick. But I wouldn't sleep on defensive line and tackle just yet because, again, those veteran guys that came in, they're solid kind of placeholders for now that can get the job done to a certain level, but there's no long-term investment there. There's no long-term development. So if we haven't seen an interior guy come off the board, if you're talking Byron Murphy II from Texas, Johnny Newton from Illinois, both of those guys still make a lot of sense because it's a longer-term impact at that position. Again, both those guys are undersized, but so is Geno Atkins. So that, you know, Bengals fans know all about that doesn't necessarily matter when you've got everything else at that position. And again, at right tackle, so many guys that could be in that range. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, J.C. Latham from Alabama, a lot of guys that particularly fit that right tackle spot that would give them a longer tail at that position than just that one-year deal with Trent Brown.
Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports, you are the best, my friend. Thank you for helping us solve some very difficult questions here in the Queen City. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us right here on the Believe in Bengal podcast.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All the best. Take care. All right, we are back on the Believe in Bengal podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. You know, hey, look, I want to thank every single one of you who went to our YouTube channel. You sent in some great questions. And at this point in time, I'm going to read a few of those questions and provide you some answers. The first question comes from John Bach, 2380. And he asked the question. He says, I just don't think people are going to give the Bengals what they want for T. Higgins in a trade. Well, John, let's think of this in maybe two parts. What do the Bengals want? I think that's going to be the real key. Are the Bengals asking, say, for a second-round pick? Are they asking for a veteran player who I think can come in and be a starter? The Cincinnati Bengals aren't going to just give T. Higgins up for nothing or for something of less value. I think if you were to ask any NFL team, do you want T. Higgins? I'm telling you right now, I've been at the Super Bowl. I've been on Radio Row there. I've been over at the Combine in Indianapolis. Any one of the other 31 teams in this league, they want T. Higgins on their football team. There's not a team that wouldn't take him. But it's all about, what do I give up in order to get him? And then once I get him, I'm going to have to sign him to a long-term contract that's going to pay him somewhere in the neighborhood of $22 to $25 million per year. So you're talking a multi-year contract, John, over the course of a 3 or 4 year period, that's going to pay him a lot of money in the neighborhood of $75 million over the course of 3 years. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals are probably not going to get what they want in terms of equal value if they were to trade. So I tend to agree with you. I will also say this. We don't want to trade T. Higgins. I don't want to see the Bengals trade T. Higgins. However, he wants his bag. And he's the one that said, if I'm not going to get my long-term contract, then go ahead and trade me. I do believe that if they didn't trade him and he was on the roster for 2024, I think there's this question that he may not bring it and may not play hard and not give 100%. I couldn't disagree more. If T. Higgins is putting on those Bengals stripes, he's going to give it to you. There's no way he not play hard. He's got other guys in the locker room. He's looking at Ja'Marr Chase. He's looking at Joe Burrow. He's looking at his coach, Zach Taylor. You think he's going to go into the building on Monday morning and let them turn on the tape and then see him not giving it his all? Maybe being gimpy or not catching a ball when it's thrown to him? Never. T. Higgins got too much pride. No way that happens, okay? So here we're going to read another question. This one from Natty Boy 513. Natty Boy asked the question, the Bengals have seen the best of T. Higgins, and unless he gets his money, we won't see 100%. He asked the question I was talking about. He was saying you won't get 100% of T. Higgins in the playoff. He says, love you, T, so long. Natty Boy 513, again, I couldn't disagree more. Listen, $21 million is still a lot of money. Now, what he wants is a long-term security, the long-term contract. But for the 2024 season, 21 mil is nothing to sneeze at. T. Higgins knows that. He wants to feel wanted long-term, just like you would on your job and I would on my job. I think that's natural to understand. I think the Cincinnati Bengals understand that. And certainly, I don't think we could fault T. Higgins for feeling that way. But I think it would be wrong of any of us to suggest that if T. Higgins doesn't get the long-term deal, that he's going to sneeze and sort of wink and bat an eye at the $21 million guaranteed for the upcoming season. He may not show up at training camp. He may not play in any preseason games. But I do believe when it's all said and done, he's going to show up for his tour of duty. And he's going to bring it. You know why? Because there's a huge market out there for T. Higgins. Just like with Jesse Bates, when the Bengals used the franchise tag on him before the 2022 season, he didn't show up for training camp. He didn't play in any preseason game. As soon as that last preseason game was over, you know what he did? He went in and signed that thing quick because he knows that that guaranteed contract for one season is the biggest payday that any player's had at this point during their young careers. So, yeah, he'll play under that franchise tag. At least that's my opinion. And I do think once he signs it, he's going to give it everything he's got. Because you know why? Just like Jesse Bates, other teams are watching. And other teams are going to say, can you still bring it? Even though the situation isn't ideal, can you still be a true pro and a true champion, a guy who plays with a great deal of pride and still bring it? I think that's who and what T. Higgins is all about. This is a guy that's had over 900 yards receiving in 3 of the 4 years he's been here, and he's always been a guy to bring it. All right, let's read one more of the email. We're going deep into the mailbag here. This one from Tim Armstrong 2338. He says, I don't think they can play both or pay both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. He said, I never understood why you would keep someone who doesn't want to be there. Well, I will say this, T. Armstrong. T. Higgins, again, he wants to be here. He just wants to be paid long term. He just wants the big time contract. The collective bargaining agreement says that after you play the 4 years under your rookie contract, you get to hit the free agent market. And then you get to negotiate with any team out there for the most money for any team that would be willing to pay it. Well, it also says that a team can use the franchise tag on you and keep you for one more year at a guaranteed contract. So the Bengals are doing what is well within their rights. T. Higgins is doing what is well within his rights. And he's asking maybe for a trade. So again, I don't think that there's any hard feelings by anyone at this juncture of the relationship. There's no hard feelings by the team. There's no hard feelings by the player. I think both just want what they want, and they want it now. And so I do believe Katie Blackburn, when she says that we are going to try to do our best to try to keep T. Higgins around long term. Now, that's going to be hard, but it can be done. Luke Easterling has already told us the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they won a championship with two wide receivers who were making money at the top of the market, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And oh, by the way, you know who was their quarterback? Tom Brady. You know he didn't come for cheap, right? You know he was coming at the top of the market. So it can be done. You're just going to have to make some sacrifices maybe somewhere else. Certainly can be done for 1 year. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have to go into the think tank and come up with something very creative to be able to keep Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins on the same roster for an extended period of time beyond the 2024 season. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Want to thank Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports for joining us. Want to thank you for joining us as well. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Believe in Bingo podcast by going to the YouTube channel. You can also go to Believe.com for more of our product. It's a great network. That is Believe.com. And of course, we want you to send in more questions. You send in the questions next week. I'll answer them right here on the show. That's going to do it for this week's Believe in Bingo podcast right here on Bally Sports Ohio. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.